If you would turn to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, on page 856 in your pew Bible. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. This is the word of the Lord. In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. In the year 431, the Council of Ephesus gathered together, the third ecumenical council of the church. The Council of Ephesus gathered and condemned Nestorius, the Archbishop of Constantinople. They condemned him with heresy. His offense: confessing Mary to be the mother of Christ. Why would the Council of Ephesus condemn as heresy what is so plainly taught in Luke chapter 1? Why would the Council of Ephesus condemn Nestorius for confessing what Luke chapter 1 confesses? Luke chapter 1, verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." In Luke chapter 1, it is clear, it is plain, that Mary is the mother of Jesus, and that Jesus is the Christ. Why then was Nestorius condemned for confessing that Mary is the mother of Christ? Because of what Nestorius would not also confess. Nestorius confessed that Mary is the mother of Christ, but Nestorius would not also confess that Mary is the mother of God. Nestorius denied that Mary was the mother of God. Now perhaps your sympathy is with Nestorius. Perhaps you, like Nestorius, are uncomfortable with such a confession. But this too is plainly taught in Luke chapter 1. This too is confessed in Luke chapter 1. Mary is indeed the mother of Christ, because Mary is the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is the Christ. But Mary is also the mother of God. Why? Because Mary is the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God, conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit coming upon her, the power of the Most High overshadowing her. What was at issue in the Council of Ephesus? What was at issue in the Council of Ephesus was whether Christ is one person. Is he one person or two? And we confess that Christ is one person, and that person is the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God who humbled himself. Who took to himself the form of a servant, who was born in the likeness of men. We confess that Christ is one person. One person with two natures, fully God and fully man, the divine nature being his from all eternity, and the human nature which he took to himself for us in history, that nature in which he died for us, that nature in which he has been raised for us. To say that Mary was the mother of God is not to suggest that Mary is eternal, nor is it to suggest that Mary herself is God. To say that Mary is the mother of God is to confess the truth about the child whom she bore. That he was God. That he is God. the eternal Son of God. It was not some other person conceived in her womb. It was not some other person born of her. It was the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, according to his human nature, that was conceived in her and born of her. To refuse to confess Mary as the Mother of God it is to refuse to confess Christ himself. But Elizabeth, unlike Nestorius, Elizabeth makes the good confession. The confession of Elizabeth is the true confession, the full confession of Christ. Elizabeth, the mother of John, a relative of Mary. When Mary greets her, when Mary greets Elizabeth, and Elizabeth hears the greeting, her baby leaps in the womb. John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and by the Holy Spirit she exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth confesses Mary to be the mother of her Lord. Who is her Lord? Who is Elizabeth's Lord? How has Lord been used in Luke up to this point? Luke chapter 1, verse 6. Zechariah and Elizabeth walked blamelessly in all the statutes of the Lord. Verse 9. Zechariah entered the temple of the Lord. Verse 11, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord. Verse 15, their son would be great before the Lord. Verse 16, to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17, to go before him to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Verse 25, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me. Verse 28, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Verse 32, the Lord your God will give to him the throne of his father David. In every instance prior to verse 43 in Luke chapter 1, in every instance, Lord refers to Yahweh. Lord refers to God, to the God of Israel. This is why John leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. Because he hears the voice of the one who bears his Lord before whom he is to go, whose way he is to prepare. Before whom does he go? Before the Lord. Whose way does he prepare? The way of the Lord. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit, confesses, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, confesses that Mary is the mother of her Lord, that Mary is the mother of her God. It is God the Son whom Mary bears in her womb. For it is God the Son who came to save his people. The fulfillment of all the promises of God. The fulfillment of all the scriptures. It was necessary that Jesus be God, because salvation belongs to the Lord. It was necessary that Jesus be God, because only God can save us. The gospel according to Luke is the fulfillment of God's promises in Christ. The gospel according to Luke is the fulfillment of all God's promises in the Old Testament through the womb of Mary. Elizabeth's response to Mary's greeting, it alludes to the scriptures. It alludes to the Old Testament, to at least two Old Testament passages. And together they show how God would fulfill his promise to save his people in Christ. Together they show how God would fulfill his promise to save you in Christ. The first, blessed are you among women. This alludes to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5, verse 24. The song of Deborah and Barak. The song of Deborah and Barak is the song that they sang upon the death of Sisera, enemy of the people of God, commander of the army of Canaan. Sisera killed at the hands of Jael. In Judges chapter 5, verse 24, there we read, "Most blessed of women be Jael, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed." Why? Verse 26, "She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera, she crushed his head." Verse 27, "Between her feet he sank, he fell dead." The song of Deborah and Barak, a song sung upon the death of Sisera at the hands of Jael. This song itself alludes to another passage in the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The first preaching of the gospel in Scripture, when God promises that the offspring of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. the crushing of Sisera's head at the feet of Jael. It was a picture of the fulfillment of this promise, a promise to be fulfilled once and for all through the womb of Mary, Mary, most blessed among women. And then the second, blessed is the fruit of your womb. This alludes to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 4, concerning the blessings of the covenant. The blessings of the covenant for obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, verse 4, then blessed shall be the fruit of your womb. The womb of Mary is filled with the blessing of the Lord to his people. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But it is a blessing that God's people do not deserve. It is a blessing that you do not deserve. Remember the promise of Genesis 3:15. The offspring of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. But how? How? Through the bruising of his heel. And so the son which Mary bears, the offspring of the woman, the blessing of God to his people, must suffer the curse of God against his people through suffering and death. Through the suffering and death of the obedient one for the disobedient. The suffering and death of the righteous for the unrighteous. That is what Christ came to do. That is what Christ came to do for you. And that is what Christ has done for you. Because Jesus is the Christ. And this is what God has done for you. Because Jesus is God. The Lord of glory upon the cross. The Lord come into this world that you might in him have the forgiveness of your sins, that you might in him have salvation and life. The gospel, according to Luke, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, according to Luke, is the gospel of God. If you would confess that Jesus is the Christ, you must also confess that Jesus is the Lord. You must also confess that Jesus is God. If you would confess Jesus, if you would confess Christ, if you would profess His name before men, if you would believe in Him, and by believing have life in Him, you must then confess with Elizabeth that Mary is the mother of our Lord. That Mary is the mother of our God. Most blessed is she among women. Blessed is the fruit of her womb. Amen. Let us pray.